Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, it's a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Second weekend of Jazz Fest is underway, and we're almost to the weekend. Tomorrow is Free for All Friday. I'm not going to get to it today, but tomorrow, and I wanted to get to this the other day, but we didn't have time to talk about it. But I want to talk about this, and we'll get to it tomorrow. A professional dating coach says 95% of single women want more men to approach them. Man, that's not the message I get. Do you think that's true? And tomorrow we'll talk about this. If you're a woman and you're a single woman, do you want men to approach you? And what's the dumbest pickup line somebody's ever used on you? I mean, I know there's some dumb ones out there. I mean, there's some really dumb guys out there. And they're using some really dumb pickup lines. And I've heard some really, really bad ones. But sometimes you wonder if maybe a really dumb pickup line might be a way of starting a conversation. Anyway, we'll get into that more tomorrow afternoon. So Amanda Shaw is going to be here in just a few minutes. She's running a couple of minutes late, but she will be here in just a few minutes, and Ian's going to run down and get her. But, you know, we've got a few things to talk about in the meantime. So President Trump had a cabinet meeting yesterday. It's described as a Kim Jong 2 style cabinet meeting. In other words, just praise for the president. Attorney General Pam Bondi said, "President, your first 100 days have far exceeded that of any other president in the country. Ever, ever, never seen anything like it. Thank you." Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says, "Sir, it is a monumentous 100 days with you at the helm. I view this 100 days as setting the table for peace deals, trade deals, tracks deals. The next 100 days will be harvesting." EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin said at the cabinet meeting yesterday, "Today is a special day for many reasons. The biggest reason why is we're here. The biggest reason why we're here is that this is the 100th day of the most consequential historic first 100 days in the history of this country." Interior Secretary Doug Burgum said, quote, "Everyone I've met, whether it's in a coal mine or the border, law enforcement, one thing they say is please thank President Trump from all of us, the changes that you're making." Special Advisor, Co-President Elon Musk, although we haven't seen him around recently. And I told you that there's going to be a point in time when Donald Trump is not going to want Elon Musk in the spotlight. And so maybe Elon Musk earned the $300 million that he gave Trump to help him get elected. Maybe it was 288, somewhere around 300 million. He was maybe he earned his maybe he was paid back for the money by being in the spotlight that long. And then it was time to kick him out. But Elon Musk said, you know, the American people voted to secure borders, safe cities, sensible spending. And that's why that's what they've gotten. A tremendous amount has been accomplished in the first 100 days. As everyone has said, it's more than beer. It's more it's Wait, more has... I'm sorry, this is kind of cut off here. More has been done than any administration before, ever, period. So this portends very well of what will happen in the rest of the administration. I think this could be the greatest administration since the founding of our country. So it goes on, and it was, one tremendous compliment after another. One of the reasons that maybe Mike Walls was removed as a national security advisor, not only because of the problem with a journalist being included in on a very private conversation, but also apparently a lot of people say that Mike Walls was sort of independent-minded, that he told the president what he thought as opposed to what the president wanted to hear. And I think there's a problem. One of the issues that we should all think about is if you have a boss and the boss only wants to hire people that admire him or her, they only want to suck up to them. They only want to compliment them. They never want to be honest with them, even though they might know more than the boss when it comes to their area. When you hire people who only look up to you and will not be honest with you, you're not hiring the best person for the job. And that's not good for the country, and it's not good for the company. So, that was interesting. I mean, no surprises there, but that's who Donald Trump is. But they said a lot of very positive things. Look, you know what? I mean, I hope they're right. I hope this is the beginning of just an epic presidency. And I hope that Donald Trump is a great president and that things go great in this country and that my life is better for me. I don't know that that's going to happen. In the first 100 days, my life is no better. It's no worse than it was when Donald Trump took office. And I think a lot of people can say that the president really hasn't had that big of an impact on your personal life. And not yet. Now, there's a possibility that there may be fewer toys for Christmas. One thing President Trump said at the town hall yesterday, which we talked about in the first hour of the show, was that maybe kids will have two dolls instead of 30. And earlier today, the last ships from China, the last ships before the tariffs were implemented, reached the West Coast ports. So everything coming in from that point on is going to be going to be subject to the tariffs. So, we'll see what happens. The jobs report that is out is not real good. So, are these temporary things? Maybe so. So we have to wait and see what happens. On the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and Instagram, there is a blog. And part of the show yesterday, when I talked to this professor who wrote a book, In Praise of Profanity. And the title of the blog is, Should the F-Bomb Be Allowed on Broadcast Media? And you can see that and comment on that, SOTA Facebook and SOTA Instagram. And let me get to a few of your comments while we wait for Amanda Shaw. Let's see here. Let me find it here. Hang on a second. Okay. That was about there are two things on here. Hang on. I'm going to get to this here in just a second. Kind of have to look through here to find it. No, that's not it either. Okay, here it is. This is a quick look at the president's first 100 days in office. Where is that other blog that I posted? Can't find it. All right, yeah, let's go to the phone. Let's go to Marrero and Mr. Zoe. You're on WWL. Oh, Mr. Z.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Hi.
Mr. Z, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine. I wanted to speak to the why Donald Trump was elected the way he was elected. But
okay,
I'm in show business. I was Louis Prima's last manager.
Okay.
I'm producing a musical about the birth of New Orleans music. I want Harry Connick Jr. in it, and I want Amanda Shaw in it. If you could put me on with Amanda Shaw, I would like to offer her a position.
Cool.
as a managing producer. I'm not worried about pay or anything like that. I just want to afford her into the talent pool. Now, having said that, I'm in show business. I'm an actor. I'm from New Orleans. I lived in every major city in this country, plying my trade. So I'm ambitious. But right now, I'd like to say why Donald Trump was elected, because I'm a political junkie. It's obvious. It's obvious as the nose on your face. Weak men hate strong women. I'm saying the voters who voted for Donald Trump couldn't stand to vote for Hillary and couldn't stand to vote for Kamala. Now, I'm not like that. And the strategy should have been, because they were bad-mouthing Biden throughout his whole presidency. They were weak-minded, and, you know, he lost his marbles and blah, blah, blah. Biden was the only man who beat Trump and beat him bad. And even Hillary got more votes than Trump, but she couldn't get past the Electoral College. Weak men hate strong women in this country, and it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. So what Biden should have done was beat him again a second time, and then if he felt like retiring, retire and turn it over to Kamala Harris as vice president. We have no strategy, and I've been a lifelong Democrat my whole life, not because I'm a Democrat, but because I'm a Democrat. I mean, I don't know why, but I could not tolerate the Republican mindset. I just can't. And now I'm in show business my whole life since high school. And I want to hire Amanda Shaw. Can you help me introduce me to her?
I can definitely do that. I'm going to put you on hold very quickly. Let Ian take your phone number, and I'll give it to Amanda, and we'll move on. All right, Amanda is here. She's going to join us right after this break. I'm Scoot on the air. Look, here's a song. This is one of her new songs. The song is called Bad. It was written by Fred LeBlanc of Cowboy Mouth. And this is a song that talks about after a breakup, how you might feel like going out and being bad. This is Amanda's song, Bad. Ever felt that way after a breakup? You just want to go out and be bad? Yeah, I know what that's like. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh. All right, this is Amanda Shaw. She's going to be on stage at the Shell Gentile stage opening up Jazz Fest tomorrow at 11:25. Amanda's in our studio right now. Good afternoon.
What's happening?
Hey, it's always great to see you.
Great to see you, too. It's happy Jazz Fest. We're here. The weather is beautiful. So.
And look, this is a perfect example of how you have not turned your back on New Orleans. And I had you in the studio for an hour a couple weeks ago, and we talked about how there are a few of your fans who are upset because they feel like you've turned your back on New Orleans because you're living and spending so much time in Nashville. I support you in this decision to go to Nashville because, unfortunately, someone in your position, you have a much better chance of being around the right people in the business to take the next step than here in New Orleans. And I know New Orleans is famous for its music, and there are a lot of people here who don't understand why New Orleans isn't like a music mecca. But I'm sorry, it's not. And that is just the reality of it. I applaud you going to Nashville. I think it is a great step for you, not only as a performer, but also as a young woman.
Thank you.
I think this is just I think it's a place for you to grow, and you need to do that. But you're still going to be here for your fans,
absolutely,
for the festivals and everything else.
I mean, there's no way. And a couple weeks ago, I was at the French Quarter Festival. I mean, and then of course, Jazz Festival. This time of year, it's hard to stay away. We have just so much great, you know, so many great events. You know, great community here. So yeah, I can't go too long without being here at home. You know,
and also with your music and with your personality, you're taking New Orleans with you elsewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's like the most important thing to me is, you know, everywhere I go, you know, and the first thing I get to tell people when I meet people like in Nashville or wherever it is that I perform, I always say, hey, I'm Amanda Shaw and I'm from New Orleans. I'm a fiddle player from New Orleans, Louisiana. And the conversation that statement alone is able to spark with people, like, again, not just in Nashville, but all over the world. I've actually made over the years friends all over, you know, because of that one statement, because New Orleans carries such weight in the world of music, and anybody who appreciates and loves music, you know, knows the history that New Orleans has in what it's brought and the contributions that we've made to the world of music. So, you know, yeah, it's an important thing to me, and I understand that what I'm doing is just, I'm just one small piece in a much bigger puzzle, you know, and you know, the great thing about New Orleans is we are about our lineage, our culture, where we've been, where we're going, and I you know, that's an important thing to me, is to keep carrying that the best that I can, you know?
You and I are very close friends, and you and I have shared many personal things with each other about our lives.
Yes.
But yet, I want to interview you like I'm interviewing an artist, okay?
Yes.
So, you studied classical violin early on. When did you realize that you didn't want to stay with classical music?
Well, you know, classical violin gave me a great foundation. And in some ways, I really still, even though I don't actively practice it anymore, and I don't practice reading music, and I don't perform that music, it gave me such a great foundation. And there are such great things at the core that I'm still able to carry with me through, you know, playing, you know, Cajun music, through songwriting, you know, having that understanding, that base and understanding of, you know, my instrument and music theory. So I think that, you know, those beginning years were really, really important. I had a great teacher at SLU. I grew up in Hammond, Louisiana at the time, and Dr. Voldemund, you know, taught me so, you know, he was a wonderful teacher, the importance of having a wonderful teacher. But, you know, my parents started taking me to like Mulots and Michals, you know, on the weekends, and going to the Fado Do, seeing the Cajun bands, and fiddle players like Mitchell Reed, Gina Forsyth. They took me under their wing, and like when I was very young would like, you know, teach me fiddle songs, little fiddle songs. And some of those songs I still perform in my shows today. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed, you know, the vibe. I loved how like happy and joyful, like, I don't know if you know this about me, but like, I like to have fun. So, so
that's even, not a secret.
No, that's not a secret. But even as a young kid, like, you know, just seeing people dancing, enjoying each other, you know, that Cajun music is, you know, it's food, it's music, it's like community. It's like kind of all the best pieces of life. Like, that's what that music is really based around. And, you know, even though I didn't fully understand the scope of, you know, the music, I did relate to what I felt and I experienced in that moment. And I've always just felt really connected to it. And I'm so glad that I've been able to grow my understanding, my appreciation for where the music has been, where the culture has been. And hopefully that I'm able to make, you know, the best contributions that I can to that music, and hopefully open, you know, by writing music inspired by Cajun music, I'm able to maybe open up to audiences that otherwise wouldn't discover this wonderful music that's really rooted in joyfulness. You know, not because life is great, but life is hard and we find joy in small places.
So now that you're in Nashville, do you see there to be an opening for a niche of pop Cajun music?
You know, I it's really interesting. When I went to Nashville for the first time, you know, you walk around, there's, you know, obviously country music, there's Americana music. Everybody's got their own version of it, whether it's like Texas country or, you know, motorcycle country, or like, you know, there's rock country. Like, everybody's got their own bell bottom country, right? You know, Lainey Wilson, who's, you know, from Louisiana as well. But I realized, I was like, huh, I was just like, you know, the thing about it seems to me that there's one of two things that you can do when you show up to a place and you're new somewhere, anywhere, any experience you have in life. You either conform to like what you think maybe people want to hear from you, or you say, you know what, this is who I am, and I'd rather find the people that really get who I am and where I've been and where I come from. And I think realizing, huh, I don't see anybody else playing Cajun music here, and this may work against me or it may work for me, but I'd rather really commit to the fact that this is who I am and find people that get it and are interested in it, that find the, you know, the things that I love about Cajun music, and that hopefully they'll love those things too. And yeah, so far I've met really great people, and I'm getting to work with some really dream people. And I don't know if I see what I see for the future, but I will say that, you know, so far just committing to being myself has been the best decision that I feel like I could make.
Well, you know, you and I have had this conversation that we all hear a voice inside.
Yeah.
Nobody else hears that voice. Right. And this is for everybody listening. We all hear a voice inside.
Correct.
And I think our greatest responsibility and our greatest freedom and joy is following that voice.
Absolutely.
In the way you dress, the way you act, the music you do, what I talk about on the air, I listen to that voice.
Correct.
And it's not always easy to listen to that voice, because sometimes you get criticized for listening to that voice, but you got to stay strong and listen to that voice. I will also mention to you that, you know, do what you're doing, but don't be so myopically set that you miss a door that opens, because what you're doing is going to bring about different doors that may open for you. And when the right door opens, if it does, you go in that door.
That is such great advice. No, I'm a true believer that the universe is always speaking, and that, you know, you have to be open to opportunity. So, you know, that's such great advice. And yeah, and you just never know when those things are going to come around.
How old were you when you first went on stage?
Oh, when I first went on stage, well, you know, I was 7 when I soloed with the Baton Rouge Symphony Orchestra, whenever I was, you know, taking classical music lessons. And when I finished, this is probably one of my favorite, and I still have a picture of the picture, but I finished that, concerto, and I lifted my bow way up in the air, and I was very proud of myself, and I actually made the front page of the paper in Hammond with that, you know, that pose that I struck. And my mom mailed that picture into the Rosie O'Donnell show, and you know, that was my dream, was to be on the Rosie O'Donnell show at that time, because we used to watch the Rosie O'Donnell show every day in my house. And long story short, a year later, you know, after my mom mailed that picture in, I ended up on the Rosie O'Donnell show, and I was like, life is made. So if only I knew that peaking at 8 is really not an ideal situation.
That's really great. But you know, Amanda, I was gone. I was in other cities. I did not know you when you were a child. I mean, when I moved back, you were already a young woman. But do you remember when you felt for the first time, not like a child, but like a young woman on stage?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. I don't know if I've ever really had. I've always loved dressing up. I've always loved hair, makeup, picking out my outfit for my shows. As long as I remember, like, I've always, you know, whether I went through, like, you know, I kind of went through a rock and roll punk phase, you know, or like, you know, now I have, like, you know, custom, you know, dresses made, you know, I've just always really enjoyed that part of the show as well. So I don't know. That makes me feel the most me. And yeah, and it makes me, you know, wearing the best pair of heels, you know, the pair of heels and lipstick that I love, I feel like I can get on any stage and do anything I put my mind to. And that's just such a crazy awesome feeling.
Because I wondered if there was a moment in your life when you felt like, okay, now I'm a young woman and I want people to see me as a young woman. Because I hear it in some of your writing and some of your music that it seemed like there was this time when you sensed that you were no longer the child star, that you were a young woman and you wanted to be seen as a young woman.
Yeah, you know, I think, like, as far as my writing goes, I think, you know, for instance, like, Lipstick Stained Blues was a song that I wrote that, yeah, definitely came from some, like, you know, female, you know, I don't know. I just never felt like, I think that idea came from feeling like, even though I didn't at the time, and this was, you know, this was the 2000s, at the time, there weren't as many, I felt like, young women out there in our community doing what I was doing. And I never felt like just because I liked wearing makeup or heels or dressing up, it didn't make me any less of a musician. I didn't feel that way in my heart, you know, and that's an extension of my expression. And I just always wanted to, I just wanted to stay confident in that and stay confident in that feeling. And I think like that kind of writing definitely helped me stay firm in that belief in that, yeah, that being a girl and really feeling my femininity, that I don't want to shy away from that, you know, even in a male dominated industry, that's still a part of who I am. And I don't want to ever feel that, I never want to let that part of me die just because, you know, I'm surrounded by men. And I'm very fortunate that, you know, I have the cute guys. Everybody knows the cute guys. And they're some of my best friends. And honestly, they're part of my family at this point. And they've always been such a great support to me. They've never, ever, ever, you know, made me feel any sort of way. If anything, I'll call them up and be like, can we do blah, blah, blah? And they'll be like, you're the boss, you know, and I'll be like, that's great. So I feel lucky that I've always been surrounded by dudes that, you know, that really supported me. And, you know, but, you know, for other young women out there, I think I always really wanted to feel that was still just a part of who I am, and that I don't feel, for me personally, in my own personal journey as a woman in the art industry, that being a woman shouldn't make you feel like you're any less. And there might be challenges that you face, but stay firm in who you are. And that's the most important thing you can do.
You know, I also think a lot of people don't know this, but I think you've got really a great, strong business sense. And with your social media and a lot of things you do, I mean, I know a little bit about, you know, what you do that people don't know, but you've got a really strong business sense. And I know you're not going to lose that. I mean, that's the endearing factor of Taylor Swift. You know, she's just got this strong business sense. I think you've got that too. And always play that up. Now, I always found there to be a little bit of healthy naughtiness about the song Lipstick Stain Blues. Okay.
Thank you.
You know, there's just something a little naughty about I've got lipstick stained blues. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Something about lipstick stained is kind of naughty. All right. This is Amanda Shaw. We'll be right back. I'm Scoot on WWL. All right. This is Breaking. This is a brand new song from Amanda Shaw. It's supposed to come out in a couple of weeks. You're getting a sample of it live right now. The song is titled Pothole Mouth, and is done with Chawa, the Mardi Gras Indians band. You know, I love this. This could become like a phrase. You know, you got pothole mouth.
You know, it was such a silly idea. Like, I was driving down Franklin Avenue, which if you've driven down Franklin,
Christ, you're going to run into some potholes
you
there.
You are going to bottom out your car. Yeah. And, like, I hit something, and I cursed every word in the book that
I've hit that spot on Franklin. I have.
And I was on my way to a writing session with Joe Gelini, and that's when it came up. It came to me, and I was like, pothole mouth. And it seemed like such a silly idea. So I showed up to his house, and I was like, I have like this silly idea. I don't even fully know what it means, but if you want to play with it, like pothole mouth. And then we sat there, and in one afternoon, we wrote pothole mouth. And I absolutely love the way this song came out. I'm so excited for this song.
Yeah, it's cool. So pothole mouth coming out soon. When officially coming out?
May 9th.
May 9th.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad we had a chance to share that. We're going to go into the next break with another segment from Bad. It's a song written by Fred LeBlanc of Cowboy Mouth.
That's right.
You're going to be with Cowboy Mouth. You're performing before Fred LeBlanc, Cowboy Mouth, this Saturday at Rock and Bowl.
That's right. I'm so excited. Fred called me a couple months ago, and he was like, hey, we're doing a special nighttime show at Rock and Bowl. And he was like, I wanted to call and ask you if you would want to open up for me. And I was like, Fred, say less. I am there. I was like, and if you didn't ask me, I was going to show up anyways. So, and then, yeah, so we're gonna do a little thing. Maybe I'll stick around and jump on stage with Fred, and we'll see. So you got to be there. So if you're looking for something to do, whether you went to the fest all day and you're looking for nighttime shows, or maybe you're a local and you just want to get out and enjoy some of the festivities, we're doing a special nighttime show at the Rock and Bowl on Saturday night. And it's been forever since I've been to Rock and Bowl. I know so many of my fans have been following me for a long time at the Rock and Bowl, and it's been a couple years since I've performed at the Rock and Bowl, so it's going to be such a great homecoming weekend.
And Rock and Bowl is such a great venue because, I mean, you're right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right there, and the dance floor is right there, right by the stage, so it's a good venue.
Totally, totally, yeah. I mean, I just have so many great memories. I love it when people come up to me and they're like, I was at your 18th birthday at Rock and Bowl. I was at your 21st birthday at Rock and Bowl. Like, and just people, you know, come up to me and tell me those things. But a lot of great memories at the Rock and Bowl. Yeah. So I've spent a lot of birthdays there.
You know, it seems like this year, I don't know, maybe I didn't notice it as much, but it seems like there's more going on after hours with Jazz Fest than ever before.
Yeah, there's, you know, every year I feel like, you know, it gets more, it gets bigger, you know, and that's so great for our local musicians, you know, to be working, you know, not just the festival, but then to also be, you know, working in the evenings. And, you know, I think it's just great. It's great for visitors who come to enjoy our culture. Like, I mean, it's a great, I don't know, it's just such a great time of year. And I love it because it's one of the only times I get to run into my musician friends too. It's like, you're like, oh, you're playing there too. Okay, well, I'll see you there. And maybe you get to catch some of their set or whatever. It's such a fun, festive time of year. I love it.
You know, I did a little research because again, I wanted to treat this like an interview, even though we're very close friends. Yeah. And it was hard because I just want to talk to you. But I thought, you know, I want to interview Amanda. You know, there's no dirt on you out there.
Well, I try to take a bath every day.
I mean,
so.
There's no dirt. I mean, there's nothing dirty out there about that. That's nice to know, too. But, you know, there's like, you know, you've got a clean record.
Thank you. You know, we're going to try to keep it that way. I pay a lot of people pay a lot of people to keep it that way, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the things that they don't know won't hurt them. What is something about you that people don't know that you would like them to know about you?
Oh, wow. That's such a great question. I wish I would have had time to think about that. I mean,
well, just answer spontaneously. What's something about you, something you do or something you're interested in? What's something about you or a philosophy or something about you that people don't know that you want them to know about you?
You know, I love, this is something you and I have talked a lot about. I love trying to live a healthy lifestyle, and that's changed over the years for me, you know, but yoga, eating well, and like cooking when I am home and I'm not traveling. I love cooking at my house, and you know, like living. I know a lot of people, I think when you're in music that maybe, you know, all your life is like a party, you know, and it can be if you want it to be that way. But for me, one of the ways I try to stay as like focused as I can to keep my energy, because I want to do this for a long time, you know, as long as I possibly can. And so, yeah, paying attention to my body and trying to live well and live as, you know, wholefully as I can, you know, whether, again, it's moving my body, feeding my body well, you know, sometimes it's getting more rest, sometimes it's doing an at-home spa night, you know, I really love to try to live that way. And I don't know if that's something people know about me or not. I sometimes post things in my stories, like, look at this, you know, thing I made, you know, this thing I cooked or whatever. But yeah, that's something that's really important to me. And And I try my best to, you know, to live that, you know, lifestyle.
Well, I know you do, because when we decide we're going to go out to dinner, it's really hard to find a place to eat because there's like five places we can eat in New Orleans. With Amanda.
I know. We have a few routines that we do.
Yeah, we do. Always like a little bit off the beaten path, you know, which is cool. I mean, I like that.
Yeah,
like
especially
that
here in New Orleans, because everything is so, you know, we have very rich foods, and which I do like to splurge, you know, sometimes. Yeah. I don't want to say, you know, like, I love a good, you know, good splurge sometimes. I love crawfish and everything like that. But yeah, for the most part, I love eating healthy. And so, yeah, I guess that would be one thing that I don't know if people know that about me.
I mean, I've had a glass of wine with you, but you really don't drink.
No, I don't drink. Yeah.
And you don't do drugs.
No.
But you're still fun.
well, thank you.
Well, a lot of people are not fun unless they're on drugs or drunk.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I might just be too much fun for alcohol and drugs. I don't know.
Yeah, I can imagine what it might do to you. But no, but it's great to it's great to have that image because you know every day I'm reading on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. I'm reading about people that you know. In fact, today's a day that that Chris Kelly of Crisscross died at the age of 34. I mean, these were teenagers. Oh, they had a number one hit with a Jump in '92, and he died of an overdose of heroin and cocaine.
Oh wow!
Now, I mean, it's like the cocaine wasn't enough. He had to add heroin to that.
You know, uppers and downers. You know.
You know, it's just, I know, it's so it's so sad. And I'll tell you, these, you know, the rockers like Mick Jagger and people like me, I mean, I had a wild time in my life, but, you know, I don't do that stuff anymore. I mean, you can't continue to do it. I mean, your heart can't take it. So, you know, if you want to live a great life, I mean, if you, like, if you're Gen X or Millennial or Zoomer, you know, I mean, look, there's something to be said for leading a good life and taking care of yourself. Yeah. Because if you do, you're going to get older and you want to be able to have fun when you're older and you can. Yeah. I mean, I'm living proof of that.
Yeah. You know, and I just like at some point for me personally, I love playing music so much. And I realized I was like, you know, if I want to do this for a long time, I have to be around for a long time. And so, yeah, it's just more important to me to be able to get up and think in the morning to be able to you know, I love having creative ideas, you know, jumping on the phone with my team and being like, oh my God, I had this crazy idea. And I love that. It makes me feel so alive. And there's just like not, you know, there's just like not, I don't know if there's a drug or alcohol out there that could make me feel as whole. So.
And you know, very, very briefly, I've got to get to a break here, but like everybody who like Nikki Sixx, I mean, everybody who has quit drugs and drinking, everybody says life is better, stage is better, being on stage is better. Everything is better without drugs and alcohol.
Well, I'm having fun, so yeah, and I can't speak for if I was on drugs, but
I'm
without the drugs,
too.
I'm having fun.
I mean,
fun,
I have a glass
so.
Of. I mean, I don't even remember the last time I had a glass of wine, but like I'm, you know, I'm cool the way I am too. Amanda, thank you. Amanda Shaw on stage, the Shell Gentile stage tomorrow morning, opening up at 11:25.
I know, get there bright and early.
New stuff. And we're going to go to break with another segment from the song Bad. It's about after a breakup, you want to be bad. And that is certainly true. You can go out and be bad. If you're single, you can go. Well, you know, if you're married, I hope you can find ways to be bad, too. You just, you know, can't do it with anybody else. All right. So, and also, Amanda and Cowboy Mouth, Saturday night at Rock and Bowl.
That's right.
All right. All right. Thanks for being here. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, we're about out of here. Sports Talk is next. I'm Scoot. Thanks for everybody involved in the show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Tomorrow is Free for All Friday. Love you, New Orleans.